Turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. One of the most common bits of information, especially in the children's classes, the giving of the Ten Commandments. We are continuing saga of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and to the Promised Land. And this is the giving of the beginning of the Law of Moses, as we call it. This chapter here is what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship to God, between us and our God. And then the last six deal with our relationship with others, and our attitudes, our behaviors, and so forth. But one thing I want to stress, and I'm sure you've heard this before. This is not new information. I've heard it from multiple people, even in this location. There were more than just 10 commandments for God's people. I am relying now on people a lot smarter than me that can count that high, because I don't know if I could, but there are 613 commandments. As far as the 10, they're dealt with here in Exodus 20. But there are 613 commandments that God gave the Israelites. And interestingly enough, there was 365 positives, you know, things that we need to do. And there were 248 don't do's. You know, I guess what you would call negative, even though they're not negative that we think of, but don't do commandments. Especially these 10 have been the basis of the legal system of the Western Hemisphere. As time went on, every civilized nation in the world, their legal system, their laws and so forth, have been based upon the Law of Moses. One thing we need to remember, this was given to Moses from God regarding the Israelites. We know that the Law of Moses was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. It was nailed to the cross. We are not bound to the Law of Moses today, although the majority of the Law of Moses, the concepts are still alive. The concepts, as you will look at these here tonight, the concepts are as alive for us as of Christians in the 21st century as they were for the Israelites. But as far as the Law of Moses, we are no longer bound by the letter of the law, like the Israelites were, that being nailed to the cross. But it starts out in verse 1 and says, and God spoke all these words. And that's important. These are from God. They're not from Moses. Moses is just the conduit from God to the people. These are not Moses' opinions. These are not a group of people getting together and deciding, let's make these laws. These are from God. And it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, it's only been a little bit. Just in case, the Israelites, just in case you forgot where you just came from, you were in bondage for 400 years. And you are now released from bondage. Why? Because of me, God. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, even though the law of Moses was nailed to the tree, that is universal. That applies to us today as it did to Adam and Eve. You shall have no other gods before me. Now keep in mind where they had lived all their lives. That culture had been in Egypt for 400 years. They had lived their entire life there. That was a polytheistic culture. They had a god of this, a god of that, a god of the harvest, a god of the rain, of this god, of that god, statues all over the place that people bowed down to. And they offered sacrifices to, and they worshiped. Not only there were all these gods that, from where they had come out of bondage, they were going into a land where they would wind up surrounded by people that did this stuff. And God is telling them, the first thing he tells them, first thing he tells Moses, one, I am the Lord your God. And the first of the commandments are, you shall have no other God other than me. You shall have no other God. That applies to us. And although people may not mentally think of them having another God, they can have another God by the way they live their life. They can have another God by what they devote themselves to. Whether it be money, whether it be pleasure, whether it be an activity, whether it be fame, power. That's the first thing God is saying. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. They came out of that. And they're going to be going to people. All the nations that will be around them where they settle will be like this, having carved images. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in heaven, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I wonder how many of us that are married would be happy with our spouse being shared, you know, their affections, their time, their energies, their, you know, sharing it with somebody else. God says, I want you to bow down to me and me alone. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand the concept, and this is not contrary to that. We understand the concept that we are accountable for our sins. But our sins can affect so many others. And it can have that ripple effect. My son is not going to have to answer for my sins, but you know what? My son can feel the effect of my sins, can feel the consequences of my sins, and so forth. And God wants the Israelites, wants his children, period, then and now, to be wholly and totally devoted to him. Verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God is a God of mercy. I think it was about a year ago, I've lost track now, Daryl and I did a Sunday morning class looking at the names and the different roles of Jesus. And I tell you, there was a number of those that came up that you know, some of them were very clear and obvious. There was a lot of things that came up that oh, wow, you know, that I was scratching my head. I never heard, you know, where did that come out in the Bible? But God, everybody wants to think of God as that loving and merciful God. But it's conditional. Mm-hmm. It's conditional. Showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Amen. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. My first thought of that is like using God's name in a cursing type of way. That's my first thought. But he says, in general, don't throw my name around flippantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I am your God. You use my name reverently and appropriately. Amen. In praise to him, in prayer to him, but not in just a casual type way, not just in a cursing type of way, but just casual. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this is one of those the idea. Every one of these 10 commandments are applicable, the concept, to us as Christians other than the Sabbath. We do not keep Saturday. That's one of those that is unique to this whole list. We don't separate Saturday like the Jews would have and not do anything, this and that. The concept, in a lot of ways, would be our Sunday. Amen. Where we separate that day. Mm-hmm. And it is a day of worship to God. We do not today, ourselves, as Christians, have that requirement to do nothing, not to travel beyond a certain amount, and this and that. The concept of a holy day devoted to worship, we still have. But it's Sunday, the day that Jesus rose, the day that we see in the New Testament that the Christians met to partake of the Lord's Supper as an apostolic example. We hold that still today. But other than this Sabbath, the concepts of all of these, Christians still held high. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Israelites would, the Jewish nation would honor that from this day on. They would at times profane it. They would miss the point sometimes. But God is giving them this command, this example, here in Exodus 20. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That concept of honoring, you know, just because Jesus nailed the Mosaic law to the cross doesn't mean that, oh, Christians, you don't have to honor your father and your mother. We still do that. We you know, God wants us to do that. I tell you, had I not honored my father and especially my mother, you know, it says that your days may be long. If I didn't honor my mother properly, should have made sure my days were short. You know, and this is true here. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. Verse 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. It amazes me how in just those three verses there, it amazes me how the world twists, perverts, and tries to make excuses and justifications for those three things. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. It just amazes me how people will try to twist God's word to what they want. Those are short, sweet, to the point, and not a lot of argument to it. It's very black and white. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Our legal system is based on that. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. There is a big difference in admiring something that somebody else has. You know, wow, what a nice car. What a beautiful home that you worked very hard for. What a beautiful car. Show me the features of it. As I work hard, maybe I'll save up and buy one like that. I really like that. But when coveting is, I want that. You've got it. I don't. I want it. And you start scheming and plotting on how you can get it. You start resenting them. They've got it and I don't. Why can't I have it? We see that in society every day. I'm entitled to it. Work hard and get it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with your worker. Work hard, save up, and get it. God says don't covet it. Admire it. You know, be gracious to the person that's got it. Wow, you know, congratulations for that nice pair of shoes or whatever it is. People kill people over tennis shoes today. That's crazy. Over tennis shoes. Now, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Don't you know, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, and they were left in camp, and then all of a sudden, all of this stuff they can see from afar. It'd be like looking up and seeing Mount Charleston. and there's lightning all over, and it's just right there. Thunderings, shaking the ground, lightning flashes and all that stuff. They're thinking, oh man. And they were scared. They were trembling because God was expressing himself right there. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. You tell us what God said. But let not God speak with us lest we die. You tell us. We'll hear it from you. We don't want that to take place. What we saw you go up and experience. We don't want that. You tell us and we will do it. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. God doesn't want us to sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. After seeing that, I couldn't imagine why they would want to. All of those various gods that stone workers carved with their own hands, which artisans molded into, from gold and silver and stuff back in Egypt. None of them were capable of doing what they just witnessed with Moses. Verse 24, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. I do not know. This is a thought of mine. That when God's saying, when you make an altar, you make it of earth, and you make the altar of stone. But you don't cut the stone. Don't make it. One, make it with things that I have made. I made the dirt. I made the earth. I made everything. You make it of the components I made, not the components you make. They had left a culture that had beautiful statues, beautiful altars and temples and things like that, and will be going to a land with those things. And God wants to make sure that they never forget and don't ever forget that I am the Lord your God. We're going to see, in my mind, I think the next number of chapters, I'm going to kind of condense and look at some of the main points. But we have looked not quite chapter by chapter, but from chapter 3, where God called Moses, up to here, we've looked at entire chapters. And now that they're going to be spending a generation in the wilderness wanderings, I would like to, in the the next few times that I have the opportunity to do this on Sunday night, look at just some of the major points and some of the issues that are brought up in this. The principles that God established in the Old Testament, the principles that I am the Lord your God, I want no other gods before me, that is as true today as it was to Moses, as it was to Adam and Eve. There are some things that was specifically unique to just the Israelites, but the concepts are with us today. If you need to, all the people we have here tonight are Christians. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, we have an opportunity to do so. If you would come forward, let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, we'll address those needs. Let's stand and sing.